Hi there, my Israelite brothers and sisters. Welcome to Brother Hebert Presents. This is part 9 of The Gospel Never Told. You can follow along with the article by going to www.thinkoutsidethebeast.com. The Gospel Never Told can be found on the main menu and in the Word Study audio section. I want to remind you that the Kingdom of God, correctly translated, should read the kingship of God, or the reign of God. The kingdom is a reign rather than a realm or a piece of real estate. The reign of heaven is a state of mind in which you enter, being called out of this world system and out of the churches. It's a belief and a behavior about which Jesus Christ taught that would be expressed and realized in a society. It's you, his ecclesia, that is the kingdom of heaven in action and a state of being, and by embodying the same faith Jesus Christ had, your actions prepares for the kingdom as it is to come in glory. Jesus Christ was calling out his people through the message that the kingdom has arrived, and as a result of believing that this was he, their hearts and minds would bring them into a condition of being a lively stone in his reign. If you are waiting for the kingdom, then your state of mind is in the wrong condition. Jesus proclaimed the good news of the reign. Jesus taught how you enter into his reign. In Mark chapter 10, the Jews tempt Yeshua Christ again. Be as a child to enter the kingdom. Mark 10:13. And they brought young children to him, that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Yeshua saw it, he was much displeased, and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Or rather, for of such is the reign of God. Verily I say unto you, whoever shall not receive the reign of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. The phrase, as a little child, means one unperverted by church doctrine, society, and unrighteousness. It also denotes one inexperienced or unlearned. These children were old enough and capable enough of coming to him of themselves, and of receiving instructions and understanding of the Scriptures. He said to allow the children, to show his humility, and to teach his disciples to regard the weakest of believers, and such as were but children in knowledge. Those such as children are those who are humble. Whosoever shall not receive the kingship of God and the mysteries of it as a little child, laying aside all pride and prejudice, will not attain to know true spiritual knowledge. Touch is G680 haptomahi and means to attach one's self to. Receive is G1209 dekomahi and means to grant access to. Enter is G1525 eserkomahi and means to enter, arise, come into. If you receive the truth of the word, you will be attached to the Holy Spirit, and as a result, you are now entered into the condition of the kingdom reigning through you. How to inherit eternal life. Mark 10:17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running, and kneeled to him, and asked him, Good Master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why call you me good? There is none good but one, that is, God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor your father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Teacher, all these I have observed from my youth. Then Yeshua, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatsoever you have, and give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad at the saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. If one is wealthy, and does not assist those who are poor and needy, then how do we have a valid claim in our profession of faith and of the belief in us? Anyone can follow commandments and profess with their mouths. James shows that a profession of faith, or the belief, is nothing without a practice of faith, or a practice of that belief. This man's reigning sin was his affection for his riches, on which his heart was set. Wherefore, he was so far from keeping all the commandments that he had not kept the first, You shall have no other gods before me. The man had everything in life, but nothing in heaven. He was told to take up the cross of reproach and self-denial, but went away grieved, finding that he must part with two things his heart was set upon, his idol of self-righteousness and his riches of unrighteousness. His vanity and self-conceit were exposed. In Mark chapter 11, Jesus teaches of having faith in God and to forgive others. Part of the gospel message is to forgive others, lest not you be forgiven. When do you hear that the gospel is also about forgiveness between kinsmen? How can you reign with Christ who forgives you if you don't forgive your kinsmen? Chapter 12 is a parable of the vineyard and the husbandmen, Mark 12:1, and he began to speak unto them by parables. Jesus is speaking to the Jewish scribes and Pharisees, hence speaking to them by parables. A certain man planted a vineyard, and set a hedge about it, and digged a place for the wine fat, and built a watchtower, and let it out to husbandmen, and went into a far country. And at the season he sent to the husbandmen a servant, that he might receive from the husbandmen of the fruit of the vineyard. The vineyard is symbolic of the children of Israel. Verse 3, And they caught him, and beat him, and sent him away empty. And again he sent unto them another servant, and at him they cast stones, and wounded him in the head, and sent him away shamefully handled. And again he sent another, and him they killed, and many others, beating some, and killing some. This is speaking of John the Baptist, prophets and martyrs. Verse 6, Having yet therefore one son, his well-beloved, he sent him also last unto them, saying, They will reverence my son. This is speaking of Christ. Verse 7, But those husbandmen said unto themselves, This is the heir. Come, "Let us kill him, and the inheritance shall be ours." And they took him, and killed him, and cast him out of the vineyard. What shall therefore the master of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the husbandmen, and will give the vineyard unto others. Have you not read this scripture? The stone which the builders rejected is become the head of the cornerstone. This was Yahweh's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. And they, the Jewish Pharisees, sought to lay hold on him, but feared the people, for they knew that he had spoken the parable against them, and they left him and went their way. 55% of the Gospels are taken up with the denunciation of the enemy in front of the enemy, so that the children of the kingdom will know who their enemy is. This is the gospel never told. In verses 13 through 17, the Jewish Pharisees and kindreds of Herod tried to catch Jesus in his view of Caesar and paying his tax. Mark 12:17, "And Yeshua Christ answering said unto them, Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And they marveled at him." This cut off all occasion against Jesus. If you open your wallet and look at the bills it contains, they are all inscribed Federal Reserve Note. Therefore, they really belong to the Federal Reserve, to the Jewish bankers whom our fathers were foolish enough to grant such privileges as the ability to have them printed and put into circulation as so-called money. When the kingship of the world is in the Jews' hands, you render to the Jews the things that are the Jews, so you pay your taxes or you go to jail. It's the system we've allowed. Subjection to civil magistrates is not inconsistent with the reverence and fear of God. All are to have their dues rendered unto them without entrenching upon one another. Now, this is not true of the separation of church and state.
I contemplate with sovereign reverence that act of the whole American people which declared that their legislature should make no law respecting an establishment of religion, prohibiting the free exercise thereof, thus building a wall of separation between church and state.
Jefferson simply quotes the First Amendment, then uses a metaphor, the wall, to separate the government from interfering with religious practice. Notice that the First Amendment puts restrictions only on the government, not the people. The Jew Earl Warren Court reinterpreted the First Amendment, thus putting the restrictions on the people. Today, the government can stop you from praying in school, reading the Bible in school, showing the Ten Commandments in school. This is quite different from the wall Jefferson envisioned, protecting the people from government interference with religious practice. At the very heart of Jefferson's idea, wall of separation, is the notion that the government will not interfere with people's right to worship God. The very fact that the government has ruled to regulate religious practices indicates that the government has crossed that wall of separation. In 1954, the churches made a pact with the state and Satan through the IRS code 501c3. Churches were incorporated. In other words, the church has become subservient to the government. Jesus Christ cannot be the head of a 501c3 church, because at law, the sovereign to the corporation is the state. So the churches are not rendering to God the things which are God's. The churches are reigning under the kingship of the enemy. In verses 18 to 27, the Jewish Sadducees came and questioned him about the resurrection, which they teach there is none. Christ Jesus tells them that they err because they know not the Scriptures, neither the power of God. Mark 12:28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" And Yeshua answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, Yahweh is our God. There is one Yahweh." Deuteronomy 6:4. "Hear, O Israel, Yahweh is our Elohim. Yahweh is one." Mark and Deuteronomy both confirm who is being spoken to, who was given the commandments, and who the God of Israel is the God of. Israelites. Verse 30. "And you shall love Yahweh your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like this: You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." And the scribe said unto him, "Well, teacher, you have said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but He, and to love Him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." And when Yeshua saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God, or rather, you are not far from the reign of God." And no man after durst ask him any question. Jesus Christ told him he was not far from the gospel message, and was close to what it meant in the fair way of entering into the gospel state of understanding, since he preferred those things which related to the knowledge of the being and perfections of loving and worshiping God, and to the good of loving his neighbor, which make the way for setting up of the kingdom of God. Simply following the commandments is not enough. Simply declaring that Jesus is the Son of God is not enough. Many Christians make a bright profession that Jesus is the Son of God who died, was buried, and rose again on the third day, and they can recite certain verses, yet they know nothing else deeper than that, and have no experience or knowledge of the 99% of the gospel never told to them. So they only have 1% of the oil, and their lamps are 99% empty, and they will come up short of entering into the kingdom and find the door shut upon them. We are warned not to show up empty. Exodus 23:15 and Deuteronomy 16:16, not keeping the feast days. Isaiah 32:6, empty of the word, but full of vain worship. Hosea 10:1, fruitless. Matthew 3:8, bring fruits meet for repentance. Matthew 3:10, fruitless trees are hewn down and cast into the fire. Matthew 21:43, the kingdom is given to those bringing forth fruits. John 4:36, reaping and gathering fruit unto eternal life. Romans 6:22, fruits resulting in everlasting life. Galatians 5:22, without the fruit of the Spirit, the reign of God will not be inherited. Colossians 1:10, be fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Titus 3:14, be not unfruitful of good works. James 2:20, faith without works is dead. 1 Peter 2:5, we must offer spiritual sacrifices, which is obedience and seeking first the kingdom, and without it we are confounded. 2 Peter 1:8, fruits of knowledge, endurance, reverence, brotherly love. Revelation 22:2, fruit yielding every month, meaning constantly. Just believing that Jesus is the Son of God is not enough. In Mark chapter 13, Jesus tells his disciples not to be deceived. Many shall come in his name and deceive many. Jesus foretells of persecution for preaching his kingship. Mark 13:9, but take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to the councils, and in the synagogues you shall be beaten, and you shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a witness against them. Revelation 2:10, fear none of those things which you shall suffer. Be you faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. This goes hand in hand with what he meant about Mark 8:35, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. Mark 13:10, and the gospel must first be published among all nations. Here again, the King James Version translators leave out the definite article the, G3588, which is in the Greek texts, and because of this, the message seems to refer to every nation in the world. It should read, among all the nations. The message and the heritage is of all the nations of Israel. The gospel message is exclusively to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In verse 13, Jesus reminds us that we will be hated for his name's sake, but if we endure to the end, we shall be saved. Quite different than what the churches teach. You won't find any verses in Scripture that teach you to get saved, or to declare yourself saved, or that there even is a doctrine of personal salvation. Jesus never spoke of personal theology. He spoke of kingdom theology. Jesus explains the signs of his coming in the last days, and that we will go through tribulation. But we shall be gathered from all the places we were driven, not gathered to board the rapture plane, but rather gathered into the gospel state, meaning the condition of the proper knowledge and understanding of the whole message that is not told in the churches. Gathered to be reigning in this life as lively stones, building his kingdom now. Mark 13:27, and he shall send his angels, and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. Who are his elect? Israelites. Mine elect is used four times in the Old Testament. Elect is used 16 times in the New Testament. All 20 times, the elect are Israelites. Isaiah 45:4.
For Jacob, my servant's sake, and Israel, my elect, I have even called you by your name. I have surnamed you, though you have not known me.
Why haven't they known him? They were divorced and scattered and forgot who they were and whose they were. Deuteronomy 30:3. That then Yahweh your God will turn your captivity and have compassion upon you, and will return and gather you from all the nations where Yahweh God has scattered you. And if any of you be driven out unto the uttermost parts of heaven, from there will Yahweh your God gather you, and from there will he fetch you. Zechariah 2:6.
Ho, ho, come forth and flee from the land of the north, says Yahweh, for I have spread you abroad as the four winds of the heaven, says Yahweh.
Jesus closes out the chapter with the necessity for watchfulness. This is what the parable of the foolish virgins is all about. Be ready at all times. Repent, for the rain is near. Chapter 14 is the Last Supper. Jesus is betrayed. Mark 14:22. And as they did eat, Yeshua took bread, and blessed, and brake it, and gave to them, and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, This is my blood of the renewed covenant, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the reign of God. Notice verse 24, the blood of the renewed covenant, which is shed for many. It doesn't say all. Why? Because the Bible, the history, the heritage, the promises and covenants, the marriage at Sinai, the laws and commandments, the divorce and scattering, the plan of reconciliation and redemption, are all exclusively to, for, and about Israelites. Nowhere do these scriptures say the church, Gentiles, Jews, or the other races are, or can be, partakers of these things with Israel. It's the churches that have added everybody and changed the message to suit their own doctrines. Exodus 24:8 is the beginning of the blood of the covenant. Jeremiah 31:31 is the prophecy of the renewal of the blood of the covenant. The Last Supper is the fulfilling of the renewed covenant. Exodus and Jeremiah are about Israelites and the blood of the renewed covenant, which is shed for the AD descendants of the BC Israelites. Are you starting to see that this whole Bible is about Israelites and our redemption? Verses 43 through 52 are the betrayal of Christ. Is it not amazing that the one who betrayed Christ was not an Israelite? Judas, man of Kerioth, was an Edomite Jew. chapter 15 details Jesus on trial and the crucifixion. Chapter 16, Jesus is resurrected. He gives the final commission to preach the gospel to every creature.
So is this where Jesus invites the rest of the world into the covenants and promises made exclusively to Israel?
No. Mark 16:14. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, Go you into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. The world is G2889, cosmos in the Greek, meaning the order of arrangement, the society, or the system. The cosmos Jesus is speaking of would be the Adamic society. Wheresoever the race of Adam lived, this would be the white nations of the world. The whole world is G3625, oikoumene. If Jesus wanted the gospel preached to the whole world, he would have used the word oikoumene. Now, every creature would be everything Yahweh created, meaning those who Yahweh planted, that being the race of Adam, born from above. The people that Yahweh formed for himself to be the heirs of the kingdom. Creature should be translated as creation. The word is G2937, ktisis, meaning original formation. In Genesis, Yahweh God created, bara, the race of Adam in chapter 1. God formed, Yatsar, the man Adam, in chapter 2, where he breathed his spirit into him and charged him and his household to govern the world in righteousness. We see in verse 18 how the churches and religious fools took this verse literally and ran with it. Mark 16:18, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Verse 18 is talking about a true disciple taking the false religion of Lucifer and their poisonous doctrine, and exposing it and rebuking it, and those ailing from it shall recover. Serpent is G3789, Ophis, which identifies the counterfeit race and their Luciferian doctrine. The very doctrines that shuts up the kingdom of heaven from those who would be entering. But some churches go about handling snakes, believing this is what this verse means they can do. It must be noted that we really cannot accept verses 8 through 20 as scripture. It cannot be found in 5th century texts and earlier, and therefore cannot be original. If it is interpreted as we just have covered above, that is acceptable. To interpret it as it reads, and as the churches teach, while they handle snakes like some circus act, cannot be accepted. So in the Gospel of Mark, we see no teachings of personal salvation. We see Jesus speaking specifically about the kingdom of God. Since the kingdom of God is something present, as in a condition, a state of mind, and a reign, we see that in Mark 1:14-15, Jesus begins his mission by preaching the good news of the reign of God, to repent and believe all of the gospel which is never told in the churches, because the reign has come near. We see in Mark 4:11, 26, and 30, that only those who are Israelites and called are given the understanding of the reign of God, that it's our job to minister the word to our kinsmen and women, but it's Yahweh God who makes it grow in whom he chooses, and that as the smallest of nations, we Israelites have grown into a multitude of nations to whom all peoples seek shelter, because when we are righteous, we are blessed and clearly are reigning with God. We see in Mark 9:1-47 that the apostles witnessed the resurrected Christ, who is the kingdom, and that if you love the ways of the world, which endeavor to draw one into sin, it is better to part with an offending eye, hand, or foot, and enter into the reign of God, than having those offenses and go into the everlasting grave. We see in Mark 10:14-15 and 23-25 that we must humble ourselves and be as little children without prejudice and receive instruction and correct understanding to enter into the condition of reigning with Christ, and that we can believe all we want and follow the commandments our whole life, but unless we put away our self-righteousness and practice what we believe, we will not enter into the condition of reigning with Christ. We also see in Mark 12:34 that the man who knew and believed in the great commandments was on his way to reigning with Christ because he had the right gospel belief. In Mark 14:25, we see that Jesus drank, meaning assimilated with his disciples, when he was renewed in his reign after he arose. In Mark 15:43, we see that Uncle Joseph of Arimathea waited for the reign of God, which came in the person of his nephew Jesus Christ, because Joseph knew of his family history, heritage, and prophecies. The churches like to use the same old repeated verses from Romans, 1 Corinthians, and 2 Corinthians to teach their gospel. They stand on these few verses, and they think they are saved when they repeat them. You should find it strange that they don't use any verses Jesus Christ himself taught about what the gospel is, and they don't use any verses found in the older part of the covenant that show who this gospel is for and why it's the good news. The gospel is not about personal salvation, and it's not just about Jesus. I put together some key verses in Scripture to show that the gospel is revealed in them from Genesis to Revelation. Genesis 1:26, and God said,
"Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth."
This was the beginning of a trust set up between God and Adam. And there was only one command: don't break that trust and sign your dominion over to the devil. Genesis 2:17.
"But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat of it, for in that day that you eat thereof you shall surely die."
Adam broke the trust and the devil took over the deed. Adam and his children after him became incorporated and title holders for the devil. Genesis 3:14, And Yahweh God said unto the serpent,
And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. It shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel.
This is the prophecy of Jesus Christ, through whom we are redeemed from the contract with the devil. This is the beginning of the gospel. Genesis 3:21, Unto Adam also and to his wife did Yahweh God make coats of skins and clothed them. This was the foreshadow of the sacrifice of his son Jesus Christ, as God sacrificed an animal to cover over their shame and release them from the penalty of eternal death. 1 John 4:9, In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Galatians 3:8, And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the nations through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying,
In you shall all the nations be blessed.
All the Adamic nations, from Adam to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and his 12 sons and their descendants, who are the racial kindred family of Adam, will be justified through their allegiance to the kingship of Jesus Christ. Galatians 3:16, Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said not, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, which is anointed. Abraham's son Isaac was dedicated to God on the altar of sacrifice, thereby becoming anointed and chosen. Genesis 21:12, And God said unto Abraham,
For in Isaac shall your seed be called.
Galatians 4:28, Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of the promise. Because we are the descendants of Isaac through Jacob, to whom the promises were passed down to. Brethren is adelphos, which means kindred of the same national ancestor. Genesis 17:7,
And I will establish my covenant between me and you, and your seed after you, in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto you, and to your seed after you.
Psalm 147:19, He showed his word unto Jacob, his statutes and his judgments unto Israel. He has not dealt so with any nation, and as for his judgments, they have not known them. Deuteronomy 7:6, For you are a holy and set apart people unto Yahweh your God. Yahweh your God has chosen you to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are on the face of the earth. Romans 9:4, Who are Israelites, to whom pertain the placement of sons, and the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises. Yahweh God became married unto the children of Jacob Israel at Sinai, covenanted with them, gave them the law, and instructed them in the way. Deuteronomy 28:14, And you shall not go aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. But it shall come to pass, if you will not hearken unto the voice of Yahweh your God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command you this day, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. By the days of Solomon, the children of Israel as a nation and people have broken the covenant. They were given a bill of divorce and punishment, exile, and captivity was their judgment. They were cast off and removed from God's presence, but he did not forget them. Lamentations 3:22. It is of Yahweh's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. Malachi 3:6.
For I am Yahweh, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed.
Amos 3:2.
You only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities.
Jeremiah 3:14.
Turn, O backsliding children, says Yahweh, for I am married unto you.
Leviticus 26:18.
And if you will not yet for all this hearken unto me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins.
Leviticus 26:33.
And I will scatter you among the nations, and will draw out a sword after you, and your land shall be desolate, and your cities waste.
Hosea 2:23.
And I will sow her,
speaking of Israelites, the bride,
unto me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy. And I will say to them which were not my people, you are my people, and they shall say, you are my God.
Isaiah 43:5.
Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your seed from the east and gather you from the west.
Jeremiah 31:31.
Behold, the days come, says Yahweh, that I will make a renewed covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah.
Joel 2:28.
And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions.
Acts 2:1. And when the days of Pentecost were fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Ephesians 1:13. In whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Hebrews 8:6. But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also is he the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Hebrews 8:9.
Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, says Yahweh. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says Yahweh. I will put my laws in their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people.
Daniel 9:27.
And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease.
1 Samuel 15:22. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. Isaiah 43:11.
I, even I, am Yahweh, and beside me there is no Savior.
Isaiah 44:1.
Yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen.
Isaiah 54:8.
In a little wrath I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on you, says Yahweh, your Redeemer.
Isaiah 29:10. For Yahweh has poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and has closed your eyes. The prophets and your rulers, the seers, has he covered. Jeremiah 4:22.
For my people are foolish, they have not known me. They are sottish children, and they have no understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge.
James 1:1. To the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Colossians 1:21. And you, that were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now has he reconciled. Ephesians 4:18. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Ephesians 2:12. That at that time you were without Christ, being alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of the promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Jesus Christ, you, who were once far off, are made near by the blood of Christ. Colossians 1:14. In whom we have the redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Matthew 4:17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, Repent, for the reign of heaven is at hand. Ezekiel 18:30.
Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, says Yahweh God. Repent, and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin.
Hebrews 12:29. For our God is a consuming fire. 2 Thessalonians 1:8. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Master Jesus Christ. Acts 8:22. Repent, therefore, of this your wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. Revelation 3:19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Zechariah 10:8.
I shall whistle for them and gather them, for I shall ransom them, and they shall increase as they once increased.
Ezekiel 34:11.
For thus says Yahweh God, Behold, I, even I, will both search out my sheep and seek them out.
Ezekiel 34:16.
I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment.
Matthew 18:11. For the Son of Adam is come to save that which was lost. James 2:18. Yea, a man may say, You have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Acts 5:32.
And we are his witnesses of these things, and also the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to them that obey him. John 5:14, Behold, you are made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto you. John 8:31, If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Revelation 22:12, And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. Matthew 6:33, But seek you first the reign of God, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And so, this is the gospel never told.